From the palatial Pride 48 studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time it may be where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by some imaginary product available at some imaginary website. Make sure you go to them today and use an imaginary checkout code when you buy the imaginary product. You'll be glad you did. Hey, welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the state of Arkansas by the one, the only, Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
What is going on tonight, Daniel? How are you doing?
What do you mean, what's going on? What? Another technical problem?
No,
I'm just trying to be high energy.
I am being peppy.
You are. I applaud you for that.
Up. No, I'm not standing up, but I should. I should be standing up. I should, because I'm high energy. We started 30 minutes early. You know what? I think starting 30 minutes earlier, I am high energy.
I think we're going to have to start 30 minutes earlier from now on.
I guess so.
Because I'm switching to a job. You know,
that's right. You are switching to a job.
I mean, technically, I'm already employed by them. I don't have to be up there until January. So for the moment, I'm still pretty flexible with my time, right? I only have to be up early if I have a conference call or something. But I am trying to get myself in. I don't know if you can see behind me here. Can you see here behind me? I have a bed.
It looks like a bed.
I have a bed in my office. Because
are you sleeping next to, like, you have all your office stuff next to the bed and then you have an alarm set, so if someone emails you it like rings and you wake up, jump out of the bed and pretend like you're working.
No,
and then,
no, there's no pretend. No, what it is I am so used to going to bed at like 5 a.m. that and I'm trying to train myself now to go to bed like 1:30 and be up at 8 o'clock. So the problem is that I'm not used to sleeping in those hours, those overnight hours. And my husband, my dear, adorable husband, who I love dearly, snores like a motherfucker. And so I'm not used to being asleep at that time of the night. My body's just not used to being asleep. And so him snoring just makes it impossible for me to actually sleep during those hours. So this is my way of being in a nice quiet room and then, you know, forcing myself to actually lay down on the bed at 1:30 and, you know, with the lights off and try to go to bed. And even if I lay there for an hour listening to, you know, the podcast that I normally listen to at night, whatever. So the point is that I'm trying to train myself to go to bed by 1:30 and be up at 8 o'clock.
Well, I just thought, I mean, now don't you, you have told me in the past, I don't know if this is a secret, I can bleep it out if it is, but that the reason that you usually sleep at a different time than he does, or that you, is because you have to have noise running.
Yes.
And that keeps him awake.
Yes.
So is this going to be a permanent condition where you're going to have a bed in your office at the new place so that you can, because you'll both be sleeping at the same time. So
right. No, see, I have a device. That sounds borderline kinky, doesn't it? I have a pillow speaker that I use when we sleep in the same bed.
And, right.
However, I like a really, really soft pillow. And so if I use this pillow speaker with my really, really soft pillow, then it's like, you know, the princess and the pea, right? I can feel it on my ear. You know, I can.
Yeah.
So the only adjustment I really have to make there is I can continue to use the pillow speaker. I just need to go to a firmer pillow so that I'm not smushing it on my ear.
Well, can't he still hear that, though?
No. Actually, no. The pillow speakers are quite nice. It's just a, you know, a tiny little speaker. And you slide it inside your pillow cover underneath your pillow. And then you lay your head on your pillow normally. And it transmits the sound through the pillow, but not, you couldn't hear it outside of the pillow.
Oh, okay. Well, I you know, and I do, and I don't know if I've mentioned that on this show or not, but I get so confused of where I've mentioned things, but I'm a baby and I don't like to go to bed just because I don't like to go to bed. And I think in some instances it's because I'm not enjoying my job currently. And when I don't enjoy things, I don't want to expedite the process of going to them. And when I go to sleep, the earlier I go to sleep, the quicker I'm going to work the next day, because I go to sleep and then it feels like I just woke up. I don't dream. I don't remember my dreams.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do dream, you just don't remember your dreams.
Yeah, so basically, the earlier I go to bed, the closer I am to going to work, at least in my brain. So, you know, I guess that's why. But I've started taking my iPad in with me and playing podcasts on my iPad right next to my head. Because I used to do is I would like lay in the living room and watch TV,
right.
watch TV, but I would fall asleep.
Right.
And it was really because I just didn't want to go to bed. But I would end up sleeping like the entire night on the couch, and I would have a crick in my neck when I would wake up. So now I just like play something on the iPad, and I'm a baby. And anyway, I think I need one of those mobile things, you know, over the bed to look at, you know, to keep my attention.
Yeah, those aren't mobile. See, mobile things in today's parlance would mean, you know, cell phones and tablets and stuff like that.
Aren't they called mobiles?
Mobile. You know, not a mobile thing. You just need a mobile.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I need a mobile. I was trying to remember how it was pronounced, mobile or mobile, or if I was completely getting it wrong. It's called a mobile,
and unless you're in Alabama, in which case it's called mobile.
Okay. Well, I need a mobile. I need a mobile with iPads hanging from it, and then that will help me go to sleep.
Right.
So are you getting the hang of the sleeping thing? Because I have noticed that you've started replying to things on Google Plus and email and stuff much earlier during the day.
Yes and no. I mean, I am at least getting up at the appointed 8 o'clock time that I'm supposed to be getting up. The bad habit that I'm trying to break myself of now is falling back asleep. So I'll get up, I'll do some work, and then it'll become time for me to eat some food. I'll go eat lunch. And of course, the most logical place to eat lunch is in front of the television. And, you know, I'm watching a 45-minute show after you cut out the commercials, right? So I'm eating my lunch, watching a 45-minute show. It only takes me like 15 minutes to eat. And so I just kind of lay down on the couch to watch the rest of the show and fall asleep for 3 hours. So, you know, that's kind of the part that I've got to get over.
I think the trick to that is don't lay down. I was going to say, man, if you're falling asleep like standing up in the middle of the day, you've really got an issue. Or like sitting at your desk, you can't even stay awake, you know, but... if you're laying down, that's the problem. I think you just shouldn't lay down.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, knowing that and being able to do that are two entirely different things.
I think the trick is, okay, so for me to be higher energy, I need a stand-up desk for when we're recording. So I think that's why radio personalities stand up a lot of times when they're recording, because that, for some reason, they say sitting down gets them lower energy.
Yes.
So you need to work at a stand-up desk as well. Eat standing up. You won't fall asleep.
Right. Exactly. Just never fall asleep.
Never. And we'll
but,
have...
as I mentioned on the last show, I had been toying around with some experiments in lucid dreaming, and I actually was successful at least in one of my attempts. So now I want to go to bed. See, so...
did you, in your lucid dream, did you get beamed up into an alien ship and probed?
No, I did not.
Anally?
No, I did not. But go ahead and talk about the stuff on your list here.
Oh, God. Can't we segue better? I mean,
nope.
Get some postcards or something.
Nope.
Shit.
We cannot.
Well, so, okay. So what? One thing that I wanted to mention was on Saturday.
All right. So we could segue better if we did that noise, right?
No, it's not the news. We can't.
Okay, then we'll use a different noise. This would imply like a quick MTV style edit to a different topic.
Oh, it's the laser, Jesus! No, because this is okay. You've got it all wrong. I have to have an aside here, because last episode you said we had too many segments, right? This is supposed to be the part of the show that is not a quote-unquote segment. This is you and I shooting the shit, shooting the breeze, you know.
Right.
We are just conversating.
Mm-hmm.
This is the conversational part for the people who like to just hear about our lives and hear conversation.
Right.
If we throw in, like, segment music into this one, then it's just another segment.
But that's the, I was trying to, you know, to imply that with the Mission Impossible thing there. I didn't know it was going to cut off that fast, but the point is that that's your mission, should you choose to accept it, is how to make it all flow seamlessly together. And
what I'm saying is, if we segue, then it feels more conversational instead of people knowing that
all right,
we're
but I don't know
sheet.
How I'm not that
okay.
good to figure out how to segue from me talking about lucid dreams that I wasn't really ready to talk about yet. Into Adam Earthquake. So
well, I didn't see lucid dreams on the list.
Well,
anyway,
I said sleep right there. See, sleep right there. But I don't know that I was. Yeah, all right, here, fine. I'll tell you about my lucid dream experience.
Oh, wait. So that whole conversation that we had just was not that sleep topic?
It was that sleep topic. But the lucid dream thing, I hadn't planned on talking about the lucid dream thing, but I'd be happy to. But that's right. No, I won't talk about the lucid dream then. Fine. No, screw you. You know what? No, never mind.
You always do that to me. You enjoy doing that to me.
It's called being
earthquakes. So since you already mentioned it anyway, so Saturday, so I've never been involved in an earthquake that I have known about or that I have felt.
Yes.
And I've been in a plane crash. I don't know if I'm just throwing that out there for those listeners who never had heard of me before they heard the first episode of this. But those of you who know me from my previous shows and everything know I've been in a plane crash.
And those of you who listen to your previous show also know that you've been in a train wreck.
Shut up. That is harsh. Harsh. How dare you? But anyway, so I have experienced some forms of disaster, at least one form of disaster, but I had never experienced an earthquake. And I've always thought, oh, you know, not a bad one that like kills people, but I'd like to like...
Do you have like a disaster bucket list or something? Well, I've been yes. in a plane crash. I've been in an automobile accident.
Well, you know, plane crash is kind earthquake. Of at the top of the list. So, you know, any of the other ones
wonder,
are just...
Wonder
know,
if there's but, a plague of locusts anywhere around that I can get involved right. in.
Exactly. A river of blood. but so... I have never felt an earthquake. I have wanted to feel an earthquake because I would just like to know what it feels like to have the earth move under my feet, okay?
Right, right.
And the sky tumbling down, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, apparently on Saturday evening, Oklahoma had like a 5.7 on the Richter scale
yes.
earthquake. Actually, it was an aftershock. They actually had the actual earthquake like the morning before or something. And we and people felt it here where I live because I live really close to Oklahoma. I didn't feel a damn thing. I mean, I feel gypped. I mean, I had people at work said, oh, yeah, my cabinet shook. You know, my mom said she felt it. All these people said they felt it. I didn't feel anything. I really feel gypped. My first true earthquake experience.
Don't say gypped.
Well, I wanted to feel it. Nobody died.
No, but gypped is a derisive form of the word gypsy. It's actually a very racist comment. So you should say you feel.
Should I say I felt Jude?
No, see that's just. I mean, bad.
What should I say?
You feel ripped off. You feel let down. You feel disappointed.
Yes, because I wanted to feel an earthquake, and I think that an earthquake feeling one would help me to have better lucid dreams. Weren't you talking about having lucid dreams at some point?
I was. But you're not going to trick me.
No, you're going to talk about them. I want to hear more about these lucid dreams.
All right,
dreams
so
that
well,
you're
you
having.
Yeah. All right, so the last show.
Wait. Explain to me again exactly what a lucid
okay,
dream is.
I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to explain. So on the last show, we were talking about lucid dreams. All right. Now, just like anything, you get the really crazy people out there, right? So you can talk about I don't know, cutting meat out of your diet a few times a week. For, you know, health reasons or for cholesterol reasons. But then there's the crazy motherfuckers out there that will take it to the extreme of, you know, you can't have eggs or you can't. And they're in not only have I decided in my personal life that I'm not going to have eggs and I'm only going to eat green leafy vegetables, but fuck everyone in the world. I'm going to make them do it too because I'm just a crazy militant person. So in that same sense that you can have crazy militant vegans and crazy militant, you know, fill in the blank, whatevers. A lot of times when we talk about lucid dreams or when you try to read about lucid dreams, you get mixed in with those out of body experience folks, you know, those crazy astral projection crowd, the just that pseudoscience crap that
yes. like on the X-Files.
No, I mean the X-Files at least had some level of objectivity. I'm just talking about, you know, the George Norris of the world, the Art Bells, the alien stuff. All right. So this is what a lucid dream is, okay? A lucid dream, quite honestly, is just you are lucid while you're dreaming. So you are aware of the fact that you are in a dream. And that's all it means. Is that's all a lucid dream is that you are having a dream like you normally do, but you are aware of the fact that you're actually having a dream. So therefore, you interact with that dream in a much different way than what you normally do. So normally you're sitting in a dream and you're like, you know, talking to someone walking down the road and the road changes 6 or 7 times, but that doesn't matter to you, right? Because it's just the dream and you're just kind of flow. And then suddenly you're in a movie theater and then suddenly you're, you know, I don't know, at a baseball stadium or whatever. And this all just kind of happens in the dream, right? As your brain kind of like sifts through these things. Whereas being lucid in a dream, you suddenly like going, wait a second, that's not right. And I don't want to be there. Or maybe instead of walking down this road, I would like to fly down this road or, those type of things.
So is it kind of like, so, and I know I mentioned this last week, but I read these fantasy stories where the dream world is actually another world. This is how the author describes, they use lucid dreaming as they say it's actually you are stepping into another world and these people can interact with each other and all that. Of course, that's way fantasy and all that. But it sounds to me like a big video game. Like instead of having to sit in front of a console and be able to jump and fly and do all that and shoot lasers out of my eyeballs and whatever else, I can actually do that in my dream. I feel like I'm actually doing it.
Right. But and that's in theory, it depends on how much control you can exert over the environment. And that only comes from practice. And of course, step one in the whole process is being able to lucid dream, right? So the very first step in the process is just actually to be aware of the fact that you're dreaming. So as we talked on the last show, I had made some little tiny recordings of me saying, you know, you're asleep. You're asleep right now. And I put those between the podcasts that I listen to at night, right? So when I build the playlist, there's all these little tiny little files in between each podcast in the hopes that they would get played at a time during the time that I was in REM sleep and would be able to hear them, and then I would be able to react to them. And I had told you on the last show that I had tried it for a couple of nights and it hadn't worked yet.
Right.
But then that very night, after we recorded that show, it actually worked.
You had a dream that you were recording a podcast.
No, it actually worked for the first time. So I actually heard myself in a dream. I actually heard myself say, hey, you're dreaming. And then I was like, oh my God, I am. I'm dreaming. And then I was able to, do some stuff in my dream. And I went too far with it, which is after doing some more reading now, I figured that I found out that that is actually a common mistake, right? Because you can try to exert too much control over things and get too excited or, you know, too happy about what you're doing that you actually do wake up because, so the trick is to not get overexcited so that you continue to dream. See, so.
How long were you actually trying to make your penis in this dream?
No, it wasn't that.
I mean, God.
No, actually what it was is I was trying to, I was walking down the street and that's when I became aware that I was dreaming. So then I got interested in things like, you know what, wow, this really does feel like I'm walking. Like I can feel, you know, it feels correct as I'm walking. In other words, I feel the pavement under my shoe. You know, it's not like some weird, haze thing. This really does feel very real. And then I was like, well, I wonder if I could fly, right? So I like lifted up and I like kind of went up into the air a little bit, but then I was like, well, now how do I go forward and backwards? And then I was able to like fly a little bit, you know, just like kind of hover or whatever a little bit. And then I like landed down and then I was just like, now I got carried away. And then I woke up. So, but it was cool. It was a really cool experience. I just next time, in some of my reading, I figured you kind of have to have a plan of what it is you want to do, during this whole testing phase. So I now do have a solid plan as to what I want to do.
Well, I never remember my dreams at all. So I think the first step for me would be remembering that I have actually had a dream,
and
which I don't even know how to do that.
Well, the way you do that is you have a little pad of paper and a pencil by your bed. And when you wake up, you immediately scribble down your dream because dreams are unlike real memories in the sense that you kind of do remember them for a brief few moments when you wake up, but then they really dissipate quickly. I mean, you kind of forget. So it's like it's not uncommon for you to remember a dream when you first wake up, but then by the time you make it to the bathroom, you've already forgotten what it was. You're like, wait, what was that? What was that? I don't remember what that was. So keeping a dream journal is kind of one of the ways to train you to remember the dreams. So there you go. I've now bored every single person in the entire audience.
But see, the problem is, and maybe you mentioned this, I apologize if I'm completely lost my train of thought. My dog decided to come in here because she does not allow me to shut doors, because if I shut doors, she will literally scratch them until I open, because she is a bossy bitch at 11 years old, and she has a coughing issue, and I don't like her to come in here when I'm recording because she coughs, and she came right on up in here, laid down and proceeded to hack up whatever it was that was deciding to, I don't know. So I muted my mic, but yeah, I got distracted. But what I was going to say is,
hi, Katie.
I don't, Daniel says hello, even though you can't hear. But anyway, so what I was going to say is, and we'll move along, but people, you say keep a pad by your bed, but I don't wake up. Like, I sleep straight through.
No, I know. I'm just saying, when you first wake up in the morning, you need to, and the reason you keep the pad and the paper there is to remind you to scribble it down. So, in other words, if you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, and here's the trick, right? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you need to remember that you're trying to remember your dreams, as opposed to, oh my God, I got to get up. I got to do this work. I got to, in other words, as soon as you start filling your head with real world thoughts, you're going to lose what any dream memories that you might have.
Well, I'll try that at some point, but it'll probably have to be a weekend because I'll have to be more relaxed than I am on a work day. But anyway, well, I wanted to just mention, because you have a psychology degree.
You know, I don't like to talk about that.
I know, but this is just for the sake of the show, just take one for the team here, because I took a really interesting, and I've got it over here, but I took a really interesting personality survey, and I'm not going to go on and on and on, but I find these things very interesting, and it's called the Berkman. Mm-hmm. And they don't require it, but they say that they recommend it anyway. And basically, it puts you into categories of red, green, yellow, or blue in four different aspects of your life. So your interests, your needs, your usual style, and your stress behavior.
Okay, and so it sounds like kind of a spinoff of a Myers-Briggs personality inventory or something.
Yeah, so basically this guy... was
Dr. Roger Berkman.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was tasked with coming up for a psychological evaluation for, I think, pilots, perhaps, and came up with this. So do you find that amusing? Am I incorrect? So I was just going to let you guys know that I'm blue. I'm a blue individual. And basically, it says, I need companionship and sincere respect of individuals more than group popularity or acceptance. Mm-hmm. I feel most comfortable and work best in situations where I can initiate action independently of group thinking, opinion, or control. Mm-hmm. My daily schedule must have the excitement of fresh ideas and new ways of getting things done.
Yes.
Most of my activities and work assignments should preferably involve a challenging cause to which I can give myself. And a highly important finding is your greater than average need to plan your own actions with the background support of broad but not close scheduling.
Wait, which broad?
I don't know.
Like
some broad.
Some broad. Okay.
And your responsibilities and activities should not demand quick or decisive action. And so basically it says that I'm a planner, and just the short version that I got from it was that I like to plan and think theoretically and in ideas, but I don't necessarily have to follow through and then finish all of that shit.
Right.
I like to come up with the stuff,
but then when the rubber meets the road, when it comes time to do the to piss or get off the pot, you just prefer to get off the pot.
Right. I need to give that to someone else to do.
you need for someone else to.
I need someone else to do the work. And it's a very, and blue evidently is very people oriented, but selectively. So I am selectively social.
Right. As long as they look young and are hairless and thin.
We're going to need to pause for a second.
Four.
Because I'm going to move her out of this room because she's snoring now and coughing. And
I'm not hearing it.
Well, it's going to bother me. So just pause and I'll edit this.
You have to go, honey. Sorry.
All right. Sorry, it bothered. Sometimes she doesn't make much noise, but tonight she decided she wanted to be noisy. So we'll start now. We'll start back. And so apparently I'm optimistic, which I did not agree with at all. But when I get stressed out, I tend to be very pessimistic. So my takeaway from that was I must always be stressed out.
Right. Because you are eternally pessimistic.
I thought I was. Yeah, I thought I was. Overall, I think it fit me, but I didn't think that I'm an optimistic person. I am selectively social. And all. So do you have any ideas on that? I mean, you've known me for a while.
Right. And you say you're not an optimistic person. Excuse me, I have to cough. You say you're not an optimistic person, but I think you're not understanding the definition of being an optimistic person. Right. So you're thinking of an optimistic person as being someone who is, you know, cheery and bright and, you know, yay, team, we can do this. But optimism can also express itself in the sense of believing that something can be done. So it takes an optimistic person to say, hey, I know that there's nothing that exists like this right now, but I think this is something that can be done, right? You have to have optimism of the fact that this is something that can be done. So you're taking optimism at its like stereotypical face of, you know,
right.
Somebody going, oh, look at me, I believe that's great. Whereas optimism actually just means a pessimistic person would never even attempt a project because they would be like, oh, it's, no one's done it before, so therefore it can't be done.
Well, I guess thinking along your lines of thinking, I really like to solve problems. I like to come up with creative solutions to things that possibly have not been solved or I don't like the way they've been solved thus far.
Right.
So I can, you know, I guess that's being optimistic that I can find something, find a better solution.
Right. Now, I had another thing here on the list, but I want to scrap that until next time, because I would like to play off of what you're just now talking about here, about your inability or your lack of desire to follow through on things and to try new things. And I want to talk about your National Poo-Poo Month experiment.
Okay.
Okay. 'Cause
let's talk about it.
You're talking about your little National Poo-Poo Month experiment here, right? Let me get to your page on Plus. So if I go here to Geeky Gay, not Google Plus. So you got your National Poo-Poo thing that you're doing. And I guess you didn't post it there. You posted
it. It's under
it.
Most of my followers.
And that's the other thing. That's the other problem with that.
Most of my followers are still under my name. If I post a bunch of shit on the other one, they're not going to see it.
Okay, but that's the point of it, Adam, though, is that I don't think you understand. All right. You're expressing optimism by trying this project, right? Of like, oh, I'm going to record this thing every day. But then the follow through should be in the analysis of, wait, how are people consuming this media that I'm creating? And it's not just your National Poo-Poo Month thing. It's also things like our website and stuff like that. I don't think you give a lot of thought as to how people consume this media that we create.
Okay, but you didn't explain what the topic we were going into. So you were going to read a comment that I made.
Right, yeah, so this is the comment that you made this morning. Okay, I have been proven correct. Since I started doing the solo podcast, my subscribers started at one number and have now dropped by over half in the past 10 days. Either I am not interesting or my argument that solo shows are boring has been proven correct.
Okay.
Now, the logical fallacy in that statement there is there's more than just two possibilities, right? The possibility and my hypothesis on the whole thing is that you have made it so fucking difficult for people to consume this media that you're creating daily that people are getting confused or they don't have the time to do it. If people want to watch your video, which is great, I mean, you know, to watch your video, they have to be at a computer, at an HTML5 enabled browser on a computer in order to consume that video. That video cannot be consumed in any other way. Most people that use the social service that you are posting these things on, which is Google Plus, use the mobile app for that platform. So you're shooting yourself in the foot in one way by not just letting YouTube handle the video thing, because YouTube can be played right from within the post, both on mobile and on desktop and on iOS and on Android and on Macs and on PCs. Like, it can be handled everywhere, as opposed to just one way. So in the typical consumption model here, someone is looking at their Google Plus and they see that you have posted, oh, look, he's got a new video. Oh, that's interesting. But they can't click on it in their mobile version and consume it right then. So then they have to remember when they get back to an actual computer, oh, he's got this thing that I wanted to see earlier and I have to remember, and then I have to dig down through his posts to find it, which is what the whole page thing comes in, is if you were just posting it on the page only, well, then that's the only thing being posted on the page, because you post other things on your personal account that get pushed down people's streams.
Well, so, okay, question. So I'm using FeedBurner's numbers to see my numbers, and I'm using the subscriber count. My assumption is that those numbers are based on people that have subscribed. So these people are ones who've already passed that technological hurdle and have actually subscribed to that feed and then unsubscribed if the number drops the next day. Is that incorrect?
You know what? FeedBurner has the worst number algorithm thing ever in the history. None of the numbers in FeedBurners have ever made sense to me. They've never matched any other metric that I have. Like, I host a lot of my podcast on Libsyn, which gives me an absolute, this is the number of times this physical file has been downloaded. The FeedBurner numbers have never come anywhere near that number. They've never really ever matched that number in any way, shape, or form. So I think FeedBurner was designed to handle blogging stuff, and it's never really worked very well for podcasting at all, in my opinion. I switched recently to using PodTrack for like Walkahol, and I'm trying to get Wes and you to switch to using it for those because that tracks unique downloads in a more presentable way, in a more standardized real world application of, you know, this is the number of times this file has been downloaded and this is the number of unique IPs that have downloaded this.
Right. And we had a technological issue that you and I were going to discuss. I want to use it, but I'm using a plugin that generates the feed automatically and it generates the link automatically. So there's some coding that has to be done to fix that.
Yeah.
So anyway, your point is taken. I understand. Okay. So maybe I shouldn't have made the comment. I wasn't expecting large numbers. It's just that when they dropped from one day to the next, I thought, well, they listened to one and then decided they weren't having any of it. And so, you know, they unsubscribed. Maybe I was incorrect. As far as making it difficult, because I was only doing an experiment, I didn't think that I really should put it on iTunes because if I was going to stop, you know, then wasn't sure.
All right. But here, and this doesn't just go for you. This goes for anyone. If you have a podcast, the bare minimum that you need is a web page. You need a web page for that podcast. And here's why you need a web page for that podcast. You need to have a place that people can find your RSS feed. You need to encode that RSS feed on your web page so that people click on it and it subscribes in iTunes or it gives them the actual RSS feed. Now, you don't have to have submitted to iTunes in order to make that RSS thing. If you do a little bit of Google searching for how to link an external RSS into iTunes, it is a ITP code that goes in there. So it's like ITP/// and then your feed. And it actually, that tells the browser to launch iTunes and to put that feed into the podcast page, regardless of whether it's listed in the store or not.
Right. Well, now you know that I don't know because, and I know I only posted it once, but I did post the link to my feed on Google Plus when I first started.
Right.
And that link is a FeedBurner link. So it takes you to the actual feed and has links on the side that allow you to subscribe in several different,
So
you know, iTunes feeds or whatever.
FeedBurner.com.
/geeky gay for the audio.
All right. That's the only one I care about. I'm just going to look at that really quick. They have an add to iTunes. Oh, it's PCast, not ITP. So yeah, if you just take that from the top of from the top of that FeedBurner thing, and it's not a graphic or anything, which throws people off. It's just a link there that says add to iTunes. But what you need to do is you need to take that link, that PCast:// and then feeds.feedburner.com/geekygay, and put that on a web page that people can click on because not everyone is as technically savvy as you, and not everyone really understands the whole concept of what happens with an RSS feed and what, how things get updated and how things get pushed out. So you're making it more difficult. And, you know, I run into this all the time on Pride 48 when I'm trying to make those pages that link back to everybody's show and I'm trying to find the episodes to link to. There's a lot of regular podcasts that don't have links anywhere on their page to their RSS feed. And you're just making people have to work a lot harder. Yes, 80% of your audience probably of a regular podcast. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about your experiment. I'm talking about just a regular podcast. 80% of your people probably do just use iTunes and search through it. However, you know, there's still 20% of people out there that are using some other form of feed burning, you know, some kind of other pod aggregating software that need that feed address. And so if you're not publishing it on your website, you're doing yourself a massive disservice because then people have to hunt and peck around for it. And not everyone is technically savvy enough to do that. But getting back to your video thing, this is what I want you to do. Okay. And you don't have to do it, but this is what
We've had this conversation.
This is what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to use YouTube and post your video every day on YouTube. And let me tell you why I want you to do it on YouTube. A, it's going to expose your video stuff to a different audience than necessarily than what you're used to, right? It's going to allow people to actually leave. But that's part of the whole thing, right? That leads people back to your other podcasting things. But the point is that but then it's embedded, right? So then people can actually consume it. I think if you post it to YouTube and use that as your link on Google Plus or on Twitter or wherever else you want, YouTube is universal enough that it will play on most mobile devices, including iPads, iPhones, Androids, Android tablets, computers, you know, Mac, PC, and Linux. So, I mean, if you go there, then you've eliminated a huge wall that you've built for people to consume that media. And I think, and the other thing is that your web host may not have the bandwidth to allow a lot of people to download that video at once. Because as soon as you post it and I try to download it, it stalls out on me. I have to wait till the next day to download it.
Well, I don't want to argue because I agree with you, but I just want to make a case for myself. A, I shouldn't have made that comment because it was just out of turn and I was just making a comment, but I thought that'll get some responses and I'll talk about it on my next show. B, as we've both said, it takes a lot of time to record a podcast and put it out every single day. So my issue has been I made the decision to start doing it on the spur of the moment, like a day before it was starting or something, or maybe even the day it started. So I didn't have time to put together the website because I just did not have time. And I ended up recording things at like 11 o'clock at night and was getting them posted late. So it takes so long to upload to YouTube and all that for the video that I was just like, I'm just going to do the quickest thing I can possibly do. And put a link up somewhere so that people can do it.
When was the last time you uploaded to YouTube?
Last night or night before I tried it. But the conversion is what takes a long time.
Yeah, but you don't have to be connected for the conversion.
No, I know. But I'm usually going to bed. And I like to know that everything is done and ready for people to view before I go to bed. So I like to be able to put the link on Google Plus and know that it's there for people. So if I have to wait for it to convert before I can do all that, then I have to wait till the next morning. And so that's the reason I need to be able to do it earlier in the day so that I know everything is before if that makes sense. That's the reason, because I was doing it like right before bed. And so if I to wait on it to convert, Vimeo, because I'm not a Vimeo Plus person, actually took like 6 hours to convert my video.
Yeah, and I would suggest against Vimeo at this point because they are not stable on all platforms yet.
But anyway, they allow a little bit more freedom as far as how much you can upload, especially if you pay. And they allow HD and they allow some other things that YouTube doesn't necessarily allow. I think YouTube still has some limitations.
YouTube has a 15-minute limitation, but you can do HD. And you can get around the 15-minute limitation by signing up as a content producer.
Okay. Well, anyway, so yes, I want to do all that stuff.
Technologic.
Point taken.
Technologic. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it.
Don't you dare roll your eyes at me.
I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm reading another screen. It just looks like I'm rolling my eyes. Okay, quickly. I was on Facebook today looking, and I saw a couple of news stories that were interesting to me.
By the way, I don't like how that song starts. We have to, like, clip out those.
Well, I didn't know we had changed the theme song, but okay. But anyway, so I was on Facebook today, and I was looking for news. I wasn't looking on Facebook for news, but I was on Facebook, and I saw a couple of news stories on somebody's wall or something. And I wanted to click on them to read them. Well, I go to click on them, and I get this pop-up that says I need to install some Facebook app for Yahoo. I could not go straight to the article. I don't want apps in Facebook. Uh-huh. I wanted to go straight to the article, but nowhere in that post could I click and go straight to the article. Not a single place.
Yeah.
I mean, I expanded the thing. I clicked on every link in there. They were determined that I was going to download an app.
Yep.
So I didn't. I went to Google and I Googled the news article and I pulled up the link. But I was so irritated. I do not want to have an app in Facebook for everything. That's one of the reasons I don't like Facebook. I don't like all the apps. I don't like the clutter. And plus, they're insecure, a lot of them. So I just had to, that was frustrating for me, and I just had to voice my frustration. I don't know if you have any comments on that.
I hate Facebook. I deleted my Facebook account, so that's my comment on it. Is bleh. No, but I think Yahoo and a lot of companies like that that are losing a lot of their value are trying their best to, in the short term, make profit, while in the long term are basically just continuing to dig their grave. Right. You look at media companies like Bravo is a good example. There's a lot of shows on Bravo that I enjoy watching. Top Chef is one of them. Top Chef, they do not release full episodes online or on Hulu. So if you miss watching Top Chef on Bravo, then tough shit. We're not going to give you any other way to consume this media. That might have worked 20 years ago when there was a very limited amount of entertainment out there, but there's so much other entertainment out there that I don't have to work so hard to consume that it just comes down to the fact of, okay, fine, then forget you, and I just don't care.
Yeah, I was just appalled.
But I think it relates here to Yahoo, right? Not Yahoo News used to be the everybody's go-to thing, and now that's falling off. So instead of them coming up with some other clever way to be more relevant or to be more open, they've instead gone to this of, no, you're going to pay us for this news by the fact that we're going to force you to watch ads by our custom little Facebook app here, yada, 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 which might have worked great 5 years ago when Yahoo News was pretty much the only game in town. But now every single newspaper, every single news service in the world is online and searchable through Google News. So, you know, I don't need you, right?
Right.
You're like Huffington Post at that point, which is another thing that I hated and got rid of, because Huffington Post just became so spammy. It's like, we want to lock you into our walled garden. Well, fuck you. Anyway, move on.
Well, I don't use Yahoo to look, or I don't use Facebook to look for news, but they just, some people had posted things that looked interesting to me, but I didn't want to read them on Facebook, but I guess I was just wrong. So we were talking about podcasting, and I'm going to quickly mention this because we're going really long, but, and I actually hate it when we say that, and I just said it, but anyway, so video podcasting, the issue I'm having with it, and we're not going to solve it here tonight, but I just want to bring it up for anyone else who's having these issues, is lip sync issues. So when I first decided I wanted to do a video podcast, it was going to be a how-to podcast, and I'm still interested in that, but I had this whole setup devised where I was going to record to a camera, like to an SD card on an actual camcorder, and then with a green screen behind me, and then I was going to go back in and I was going to do all the editing in post, which will actually get you the best quality, because you're not depending on the computer to record anything. You're recording directly to a camera that is designed to do that. And then you're editing it later, and you can use video editing software to key out the green screen and all that. Well, when I decided to do this personal blog, I thought, or vlog or whatever you want to call it, I decided I'm going to try video because I want to experiment with that in a little bit, something that's easier to put out. So I decided to try some video switching stuff that allows you to do live, and it records all the live feed. So it will actually key out the green screen. It'll put in, you can switch cameras. And actually the software that I'm using works great. It's called VidBlaster, and I'm just using the trial version. But the problem is, I've read on forums for VidBlaster, for Wirecast, for several different software packages that do this, that there are always, no matter what you use, when you're doing live to tape, so to speak, there are always audio and video sync issues, because video takes longer to process, basically, than audio. And one article even went so far as to say sound travels faster or something. You know, I don't know if that's true, but whatever. So I'm having these issues. Well, usually you can use a delay. There are devices you can get that will delay your voice, and I have one. Because usually the problem is that your audio is there before you like start speaking, and then your lips move, like at one of those old Japanese videos, you know, whatever. But mine is actually the opposite. So I'm just having all kinds of frustrations. So, and then by the time, and I'll start in sync at the beginning, and then at the end, it will be out of sync.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I've watched movies or tried to watch movies or TV shows on Netflix that get out of sync, and I stop watching them because of that. So I don't think it's just you. I think it is just a problem with the video codecs are separate from the audio codecs, and until we have some kind of better integration of the two.
Yeah, it's just funny because when you record it on a camera, though, you don't have, at least in the initial recording, you don't have the audio and video syncing. Now, over the internet sometimes, because I guess the audio and video are still handled separately when you're watching it over the internet.
Yes.
That's where you have the syncing issues. But when you record it, there are none. So I'm working with that, and I just hope that people still want to watch it. For me, a sync issue, I turn stuff off. Because I don't want to watch it, but I really haven't found a good way to solve it. So I'm really frustrated by
that. Well, I think just going back to the original plan, just record directly to the camera. You can send the output of the mixer directly to the camera, right?
Yes, I can. But the editing on that takes me hours. It took me weeks to edit my first episode of the show that I never put out.
But that's because you were doing all kind of post-production stuff. For your daily thing, it's going to take you that long to edit it? Really, all you're doing is replacing the background.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I could do that. I haven't thought about it. Anyway, so we can move
on.
I just wanted to...
it's the whole tedious detail thing, Mr. Blue Man.
Oh, you know, it's just that I get one process set up and I have to move to another one. And then we'll go to record Dubious Intent and I will have unplugged some wire that I need and plugged in. And then it'll take an extra hour. So the last thing I wanted to just bring up briefly on this, if anybody else is trying video podcasting, I would love to talk with them because I'm trying to learn how to do it. But anyway, so World of Warcraft. I know this is a big, but I wanted to discuss this with you because I've thought about this for a long time and I know a lot of people play that listen. So here's my thing. I have been on and off the bandwagon with World of Warcraft for 2 or 3 years and I enjoy it. The problem is I don't have a lot of time. And my question for you, Mr. Brewer, is if I want to play with my friends are all... like the highest level you can be, they raid, like you being one of my friends, for instance, all of this stuff. Well, so in order to be able to play with your friends, you have to get to that level. The problem is, if you don't have time in your life to spend the mega amounts of hours that it takes to get up to a level as people that are already doing it, how do you do that? I mean, how can you play a game like World of Warcraft without devoting thousands of hours and still have fun and be able to hang out with your friends? That's my question.
Hi, this is Daniel. And welcome to Walkahol, the show about World of Warcraft.
No, this is the technology.
You were supposed to say, this is Gene. See, you
this
already
is Gene,
screwed it up.
Sorry.
That was the opening to Walkahol. All right. So, well, it's one of those things that is an interesting question, but at the same time, I don't necessarily understand it because I hear this a lot of times. I'm going to cough. I hear this a lot of times from a lot of different people. Yes, in order to play with the big boys, in order to play the end game rating stuff, then yeah, you have to have a max level character. And it takes a lot of time to get to the top level, especially when it's something that you're trying to rush. So my advice would be don't rush it. You have to understand that those of us who have max level characters that raid have been playing for years. So... I know that there's a common misconception that, oh, well, WoW eats your life and you spend every waking moment playing WoW. In all honesty, I play World of Warcraft maybe 4 times a week. I log on the nights that we do raids, which is twice a week, and I play for 3 hours with my friends. And then during the rest of the week, I maybe log on a couple of times just to do a little bit of maintenance on my character, you know, just to like... run a few daily quests or something like that. But there's nothing pressing that I have to do. So if I miss doing it, it's no big deal. So it's really just those 2 raiding nights that I play. The time that it does become time-consuming is when a new expansion comes out and they've added new levels to the game, and then you have to like spend the time to level your character up those additional 5 or 10 levels. So for maybe a 2 or 3 week period, I will play more than I normally would in order to level up that character. But again, it's not a daily thing. I don't play World of Warcraft daily. I don't, you know, fire it up all the time. It's twice a week, like my bowling nights or whatever. So for people like you that are interested in playing with those of us in the in-game or whatever, stop trying to set it as your goal of, I have to make it to level 85 by the end of the month. It is a $15 a month subscription, right? Which, when you break it down, is an incredibly cheap amount of money to spend for the amount of entertainment that you get from it. So set more realistic goals. So set it so that my goal is to get my character to level 20 2 weeks from now, which, as you know from playing, the lower levels go much faster, right?
Right.
And then set another goal after that of, like, you know what? I want to make it to level 40 in another 2 weeks. And then I want to make it to level 60 in another 3 weeks. And then I want to make it to level 70. And if you do that and you let those of us know who are playing, we have characters in those characters, because you can have multiple characters in World of Warcraft. So I have level 20 characters. I have level 40 characters laying around that I could come and play with you on, but you have to kind of let me know that, because I don't log in all the time. So,
right. Well, I guess my thing is, though, for me, I always feel like I'm behind. It's not even that I want to be, or that I care that I'm not those higher levels, but for me, the most fun is playing with other people, especially friends, because I like the social aspect of it. But to get there, I either have to let you guys know, and I feel like I'm bothering you because you're having to go through things that you've already done before and you'd rather be raiding or whatever. And, or, you know, you're doing it out another time and that's adding time to your week that you probably don't have. And then when, you know, if I'm still behind when an expansion comes out, the ones that are really good at the game move up really quickly because they're really good at it. And I'm still back in the levels from, you know, past. So it just seems like a never ending battle. Like, once you're behind, like, it seems impossible to get up there so that I can.
But it's play not with, impossible.
You know,
well, the level cap has been 85 for almost a year now. So it's not, you know, yeah. When they raise the level cap, there's a mad dash to get up to the new level cap or whatever, but then it's going to stay there for a year. So, you know, I don't do bleeding edge content, right? I'm not the first person in line to do the new raids and on heroic difficulty and blah, blah, blah. The people that I raid with is a very casual raid. So here would be my suggestion. If it's something that you want to do, then start an account. Go ahead and level up your character to at least level 20 before, because there's really nothing anyone can do to help you before level 20 anyway.
Well, I already have a level 40.
Okay.
They save all of your information.
Then pick up your level 40 character and then set a set time on. If you let us know in advance, and when I say us, I mean the rest of us that play World of Warcraft, if you give us some kind of advance warning, we'll be happy to come and help you level. We'll be happy to come and play with you. The things that you run into and that a lot of people run into is they come home, they sit down, they fire up the computer, and they want to play on their lower level character. And those of us who might be on higher level characters are already doing something else. And it's not that we don't want to help them or whatever. It's just we have other things planned. So it's just like anything else, right? You just need to give people some kind of notice. Like, hey, you know what? Every Wednesday, you know, every Wednesday evening, maybe for a couple hours, could you guys help me level or help come and help me do some stuff, or let's play together every Wednesday night or whatever. Or not, right? Or at least, you know, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be on from this time to this time. You can post these on Google Plus. You can post them, you know, wherever. And then that gives those of us who play the opportunity to say, oh, you know what? No, I'm not doing anything tomorrow night. Yeah, I'd be happy to come in and help.
And the other thing is, I guess I get a little bit like, for some of us, the only time that, or for some of other ones that play World of Warcraft, the only time that they hang out with their friends is when they play World of Warcraft. So, like, for instance, I would like to hang out with Steven or Donna Sugars or some of those other people, you know, and talk and stuff like that. But it seems like that most of that hanging out online goes on over a game of World of Warcraft. So, you know, and that is fun. I like playing that. So it seems like for me to get in on that hanging out, that's one way to do it. You know,
well, then go forth and do it. That's anyway. What I say. Go forth and do it. We'll be right back. news.
I don't know why you like that. A pair of, quote, gay penguins, Buddy and Pedro, are being separated by their keepers at the Toronto Zoo. Homophobic or what? Pedro and Buddy, two male penguins at Toronto Zoo, are being separated. The little critters are African penguins and have sweetly shared the same nest for a year, leading to thoughts that they were gay. Cue jokes about Brokeback Iceberg. Now, the zoo wants to split them up so that they can mate with females because the species is endangered.
Yes.
Perhaps they're bi. Buddy, who's 21, has already had a female partner. His much younger partner, cue jokes about Adam Warity and Liam Fox. I have no idea what that means. Pedro.
Yeah.
Pedro is 10 and has yet to produce any penguinlets.
Yes.
Their keeper, Tom Mason, said that the bond was social but not necessarily sexual. The internet, however, disagrees and has gone mad over it.
Imagine that. People going insane on the internet.
So anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of this, but there's a Jimmy Kimmel skit about it on his show. Apparently it's just gone. So apparently people have decided these penguins are gay and they're forcing them to have sex with women to propagate the species. And speaking of gay, Dan somebody, I can't pronounce his name, a co-anchor for ABC News' very early World News Now show revealed on the air that he is gay.
How exactly did he reveal on the air?
This relates to another story that we covered a couple of weeks ago. While delivering a report on Zach Quinto, the Star Trek actor who recently came out in an interview with New York Magazine,
yes,
Dan said he would consider dropping his rule against dating actors for Quinto. So he says, it was kind of a big moment for me while filling in on World News Now, which is by far the most fun you can legally have at 3 a.m.
That's how he chose to come out to the world. Is by making an aside about dating Zachary Quinto.
I think it's time for Anderson Cooper to do the same thing.
You know what? Anderson Cooper is out. I mean, he goes with his boyfriend to all the parties in New York. You can find photos of them online everywhere. It's kind of like the whole, everyone used to say, like, I wish Lily Tomlin would come out or whatever. She was always out. It's just the fact that...
She's gay. A surprise search at an Acapulco prison netted 2 peacocks, 100 fighting cocks, 19 prostitutes,
5 golden rings,
100 plasma TVs, and 2 sacks filled with marijuana, authorities told journalists on Tuesday. Police found 6 female inmates living in the male part of the prison, which was also the section where the peacocks were found. What are they doing there, and how do you hide a prostitute?
Have you seen some of those? Some of those prisoners are pretty fat, right? They could like hide them in their fat folds of fat or something.
Well, anyway, I just thought that was funny. I mean, peacocks and prostitutes being hidden in a prison. I mean, I've heard of prisoners shoving stuff up their ass to get contraband in, but really, you're going to shove a prostitute up your ass?
You picked that story just so you could make that joke.
Whatever. Officials in Dortmund, Germany
say... How many news stories are there?
Oh, this is the last one.
But normally we were going to do 2, and then you pushed it to 3, and now you're like up to 4.
No, it's still 2. I just...
How is it 2 when I see 4 different stories?
I just bend the rules a little bit occasionally. Officials in Dortmund, Germany say a modern art installation valued at $1.1 million was seriously damaged after an overzealous cleaning woman scrubbed away a patina intended to look like a dried rain puddle.
Excellent.
So I only read that because have you ever seen those modern art installations where you really can't tell what the fuck it is and that it's art?
Yes.
Like, I remember there was an episode of Designing Women where... They went to this art gallery and there was literally a payphone and Charlene tried to go use it and one of them's like, oh, no, that's art, you know, or whatever. And I just think it's ridiculous. So anyway, a cleaner ruined a $1.1 million art installation.
No, it is. It's modern art. I've never understood modern art. Modern art is all about bullshit. Like, how well can you explain this ordinary object in some kind of term that will make somebody go, wow, that's really deep.
I mean, what I don't understand about it is, why can't I make millions of dollars by taking some old trash that I have laying around and throwing it in a gallery? I mean, who makes the determination what is going to be worth $1.1 million?
Georgia and Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Birthdays.
All right. Everybody's favorite part of the show where we talk about a bunch of celebrities nobody gives a shit about and their birthdays.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. Down, down. All right. So this is the theme to Night Court. Right?
Yes, it is.
So it would be...
Female.
Oh, a female. Roz? The girl that played Roz?
Nope.
The Harry Anderson's love interest.
The main female chick.
Right. The Harry Anderson's love interest. I don't know her name.
You don't know the name. Okay. Marquis Post.
Marquis Post. There you go.
Turned 60.
Wow. 60.
Yeah. I think she did, but we'll say she did if she didn't.
Right.
So my next one. Wait, the announcer will tell you what this one is.
It's just the...
Jackie Gleason.
The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners.
All right. Yes. So it must have been Jackie Gleason's birthday then.
It was not.
Oh. Ralph Cramden's birthday.
Ralph Cramden is Jackie Gleason.
No. Ralph Cramden was the other guy, right?
Nope. Ralph Cramden was Jackie Gleason. His friend's name, I can't remember, was Art Carney, and Art Carney had a birthday even though he's dead. He would have been 93. He was born in 1918. Can you imagine? You don't know this song? Oh my gosh.
Hold on.
Look into my eyes. You will see.
Who? It sounds familiar, but I don't. Who is singing this?
If I tell you that, you'll know whose birthday it is.
Is it a solo person or is it a group?
It's a Canadian singer songwriter. Oh,
Brian Adams.
That is correct.
See, because there's really honestly, when you get into the world of talented Canadians, there's only like three.
That's one of my favorite songs. I sang that with my girlfriend in a show back when I was like 13.
Jesus Christ.
Brian Adams turned 52.
All right,
here we go. Maybe.
Sam the Eagle. Yes, Sam the Eagle.
No, this person is also dead, but John Philip Sousa would have been 157 years old.
Excellent.
He was born in 1854, for those of you who wondered. All right. This was one of my favorite TV shows.
Is this The Incredible Hulk?
Yes, it is.
So is it, it's either Bill Bixby or Lou Ferrigno?
It is Lou Ferrigno, who I thought was incredibly hot. I used to cream my pants over Hulk. I don't know, there's something about a muscular green man.
Okay.
He turned 60.
Ah, well, he's the same age as Marquis Post.
Oh, I'm sorry. She turned 61.
Oh, she's an older woman to him. There you go.
And this is my favorite actor and the last of the celebrities, but we do have two other birthdays. This is the last of the celebrities.
The last of the celebrities. Very busy birthday month.
My favorite actor.
This sounds like a pompous movie theme. I got nothing. What is this?
Oh, my gosh. People are screaming at their iPods right now. This is the theme song from Titanic.
Oh, God.
And the actor is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio. You couldn't have played the theme from Inception or something?
That's not recognizable.
I think I have it. Well, let's see. there.
That reminds me of the orc one that I played last week, and you're like, what the fuck movie is that? And anyway, so our next one, you should know. So I'm going to play this, and hopefully this will be easy enough for you.
Here's a little number I tossed off. Sounds very loungy.
It is.
Steven.
Just ignore the name at the beginning of the song.
He's shy, oh so shy. He's a shy person. But he tossed us a bone. Shy person with a bone. Up his phone and he called. I don't know. I'm stumped. Who is it?
That's it. I'm out of music.
Who is it? Who is it? Whose birthday was it?
I believe it was Stephen from Wisconsin.
It was Stephen from Wisconsin's birthday?
It was.
Wow. Well, happy birthday, Stephen from Wisconsin.
I don't know how old he is.
I think he's 14.
Okay. Happy birthday, Stephen from Wisconsin. Come down to Northwest Arkansas to claim your prize.
Would he be coming down or over?
We're not on the same level as Wisconsin.
All right. So anyway, are you done? Because I have one more.
All right.
All right. Here's a birthday for you to guess.
Okay.
This is a famous person in the podcasting world.
Sinking in your fight. Too many runaways. Eating up the night. Holy place to
well, I don't know the song.
You don't know this song?
No, I don't.
We built this city.
On rock and roll?
Right, right. Yes, yes.
Oh, I guess
yes,
I do know the song. Maybe it sounds different towards the end.
Right. And so who
does it go, we built this
yes,
city?
Yes, it does. So,
okay.
So whose birthday is it then?
Well, that must be Guru Nudy.
You are absolutely correct.
He built this city on rock and roll.
He not only built this city, he built that city and the other one down the road.
Well, happy birthday, Guru Nudy.
Exactly. Happy birthday.
Two of my favorite people to have birthdays. John Philip Sousa and Guru Nudy.
What about Steven?
Oh, yeah. And Steven. Steven, yes.
I can't say happy birthday because he thanked everyone else for telling him happy birthday. But when I would say it, he'd just be like, yeah, fuck you.
And now it's time for your favorite segment.
Happy birthday to everybody and blah, blah,
yes,
blah.
Yes, happy birthday. And now it's time for your favorite segment.
3, 2, 1.
Yay!
All righty. Well, did you get any emails this week?
Let me take a look in the old mailbox here. I don't think so. Are we sure that the contact at dubiousintent.com is working?
We tested it out.
I know we tested it out.
And we have gotten emails because I believe Miss Kathy Bacon emailed us at that address.
I know, but nobody's sending us any email.
Well, we do have a voicemail that was emailed. So you should have gotten one email today.
Yes,
actually.
I got an email today.
So it is from George in Atlanta.
George in Atlanta.
And I will play it now.
Okay, excellent.
Hey guys, it's George in Atlanta.
Hi, I'm George.
Doing the show. Thanks for the tech talk. It helps very much. Question for you. Is Audacity pretty much the primary free audio editing tool that folks use?
Okay, so I figured out how to pause.
Oh, excellent.
I would say whether you're using a Mac or a PC.
It doesn't matter. It's available on both. Actually, it's available on Mac, PC, and Linux.
No, but I'm saying if you're using, I mean, I know there are other programs that people use on Mac, but what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say no. It is not the primary free program.
What is the primary free program?
It is the free program to use.
I was going to say I don't know of any other ones. Yeah.
No, Audacity is pretty much the tool of choice. Regardless, even if it costs money, I think it would still be the tool of choice.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say the only thing different. The only thing I would say, you know, like there's Adobe. what is it? Is it Premiere or
that's video. Premiere Elements is video.
Yeah, what they is have, their Audition? It's Adobe Audition is their audio suite. And it will do a couple of things, but they're so ridiculously minor that they wouldn't really help you. Like, one of the things they'll do is they will link out to a transcript, so you can take the audio that you recorded and then it will analyze it and try to figure out what's being said and make a transcript that you can then later go in and edit. And then it will also allow a little bit better options for multi inputs. So like if you're running more than one sound card, then you can actually run more than one track at the time. But honestly, for 99.999% of the universe, Audacity is the tool to use just because there's so much available for it and there's so many filters and so much information out there about it that it really is the product to use.
Yeah, one thing we should mention that's a tip for people that I don't think we've mentioned on this show that they might not know. Audacity, just the standard version that you download, does not have all of the effects that you could ever possibly want necessarily. It has most of what you use,
right?
But there are lots of plugins for Audacity. You can go to their webpage and you will find a section for plugins.
Yep.
But you also can do a search online for Audacity plugins, Audacity effects, that sort of thing. We use a noise gate that is not in there by default.
Right.
You have to go in and search for it. So if there's a functionality that you're not finding in Audacity, there's a 99% chance if you do a search for it or you go to their page, you'll find a plugin that you can download for it.
Absolutely correct. So continue.
Or is there another software tool out there?
There's no other software.
Low cost, moderate cost. That has even more sort of built-in functionality. I'm enjoying Audacity, getting to know it, but I'm just curious if there's anything else out there.
No.
Hope you're doing well. Talk to you later. Bye.
I mean, and don't be fooled.
One more thing. Oh, sorry. Daniel, by the way, yes? I have an idea for your cat problem.
Yes.
It involves a brown paper sack and a large body of water. But then again, I'm a dog person. Sorry. Have a great one. Bye.
So what am I supposed to do with the sack? In the body of water, like
I think you put the cat in the sack and you throw it in the body of water.
Well, that doesn't sound very helpful because the cats wouldn't be able to get out of the water because they would be trapped inside the sack.
I think that's the whole point.
That's incredibly unhelpful. Don't be fooled by there's a lot of little mid-range programs out there like $40 and $30 programs that claim to be better than Audacity. I have never ever seen one of them actually. Even come close to working in the same way. The only thing I will say about Audacity, now that we're back on this, because I'm choosing to ignore his horrible cat statement, but the one thing I don't care for in Audacity is its MP3 encoding. It uses LAME.
Which is lame? Is that what you're saying?
No. It uses the LAME MP3 encoder, that's the name of it. It's not that it's lame. That's an acronym that stands for something that I don't know right off the top of my head. But it's a free MP3 encoder. I don't like how LAME encodes stuff. It sounds fuzzy when it encodes it. So I use the Fraunhofer standalone MP3 encoder, which is a standalone program. And so when I save out of Audacity, I save to a WAV file and then encode it using the Fraunhofer, which gives it a much better. So I can use a lower bit rate to encode with. Like I always encode with like either 64 or 96K. But even at that lower bit rate, it sounds better than a 128K out of Audacity using LAME.
Alrighty then.
The other add-on that we use, the plugin for Audacity that we use is FLAC. So, which I don't know if a lot of people know about that. So,
Well, that you save yours and FLAC, and then.
But you need then, to, you need to have an add-on for Audacity to save out as a FLAC file, which is.
So do you for MP3?
Yes, but it's called FLAC stands for Free Lossless Audio Encoding or Audio Codec, which makes it. So you don't lose any. It's like saving a WAV file, but a compressed WAV file. If that makes any sense, go ahead, play the noise. 3, 2, 1. Contact. All right. Thank you, George, for our one and only contact this week.
Yeah.
I think what it is because I trashed National Poo Poo Month. Everyone's pissed off at us, and now they're not going to call.
It could be.
That's exactly what it is. They're pissed off at us, and now they're not going to call.
Well, I wonder why that is. I wonder what it is about you.
No, you know what? No, you're going to try to see. I know how your brain works here. You're like, no, because I have some imaginary idea as to how long a podcast should be, and I've now exceeded that imaginary length of a podcast, and so now I'm nervous about it, and I want to wrap it up and get it done with. But no, Adam Burns, that's not how it works. A podcast.
I thought you had to go to bed.
A podcast. Well, yeah, but now I'm all hyped up. I'm all hopped up on goofballs now. I had to cough. Whatever.
Why do you mention that you had to cough and then mute yourself? Isn't that kind of counterintuitive?
Like, it is.
You might as well just cough right into the microphone if you're going to announce it every time.
Who am I, Big Fatty? No, I'm not going to cough right into the microphone.
Well,
that's just
announcing
rude.
It is the same thing as coughing into the microphone. You're just letting people know, hey, I just coughed, or hey, I'm about to cough.
That's me being polite.
No, because the editing is going to cut out the silence. We've already discussed this, but then you're announcing that you just.
I think it is important for people to know what it is that I'm doing at all points in time, because I have a massive, enormous, throbbing ego. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is 2x2 234. 2x2? That's 229-234-7587. You can also send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. I would tell you to go to the website, dubiousintent.com, but it really sucks, so I wouldn't even bother to go there.
Why do you
Hey, you know, we have a new
that?
Google Plus page. Because you can't go down into... You know what? We have a thing where you can leave comments if they could get to the article, but since you don't link the title to the article, they can never even get to the page to leave us comments.
Or you could have done what you said you were going to do and made it
I
so that it worked.
I investigated that, and it doesn't work, because you need to have a separate page for each article that they can link to, because that works for the Google searching and stuff like that. Anyway, find us on Google Plus. I'm Daniel Brewer. He's Adam Burns. You can also search for Dubious Intent on Google Plus.
All righty.
Say goodnight, Adam.
Goodnight, Adam.